God's holy word in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we will continue looking together at this portion of Holy Scripture. The whole book of Deuteronomy is the statement of the truth of the gospel. If you want to sum it up just in one word, it's the Lord sending His servant Moses to press the gospel upon the hearts of the children of Israel right before they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And we've looked now at this chapter for a number of weeks, and tonight we want to try to finish chapter 11 by looking at the last four verses. And so if you will look with me, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 29 down through verse 32. Hear now the reading of God's very word. And it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, that you shall place the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not across the Jordan west of the way toward the sunset in the land of the Canaanites who live in the Arabah opposite Gilgal beside the oaks of Moreh? For you are about to cross the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall possess it and live in it, and you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the judgments which I am setting before you today. Since the reading of God's very word, I've entitled our sermon this evening, Remember Me. And you say, well, Henry, that's kind of an odd title because remember isn't anywhere in these verses. I mean, you know, there's nothing in here that starts with an R. Remember me. But as we go through and look at this, I think you're going to be struck with the fact that the Lord, in giving these instructions to His people, that when they go into the promised land, they're to go to these two mountains, these two hills, and they're to do something there. And the bottom line is that was all for the purpose of stirring them up to be careful to love and obey and follow the living God. And so we can sum all of that up in basically saying the Lord is calling upon His people to not forget Him when they get into the promised land, to remember Him. So we're going to look at several aspects of this evening. First of all, I want you to consider with me the original intent of these instructions here in Moses' preaching initially. And we see that these are instructions that God gives to His people. Look at verse 29. And it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, that you shall place the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Here is this command to do something in the future, the near future. Now, Moses wasn't going to be with them when they went into the promised land. He was not permitted to go into the promised land, but he was with them right up to the very edge. He was privileged to go up right to the very edge of the promised land. And then his servant Moses, his assistant Moses, was going, Joshua was going to carry on. And God told Moses that because he did not treat the Lord as holy in the presence of all the congregation, that the Lord was going to chasten him with not being permitted to actually take the children of Israel into the promised land. And so here we have now this original intent is Moses is giving instructions about Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal, He tells them the place where they are. They're across the Jordan, west of the way toward the sunset in the land of the Canaanites who live in the Arabah opposite Gilgal beside the oaks of Moreh. And he goes on in verse 31, for you are about to cross the Jordan. It's not going to be long. You're going to be crossing the Jordan. And when you do, be careful. Be diligent. This word, be careful, is an interesting word. It's found many times in the Old Testament, 468 times. So it's a word that occurs a lot. It's a frequent word in the Old Testament. And it is translated by a number of different words: keep, observe, heed, beware, mark, regard, so forth. Those are English words that are used to translate this Hebrew word that's translated here in verse 32, be careful or diligent to do something. And God is instructing His people to go when they get close to the promised land, right before they do the conquest, there's going to be this drama that is played out on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And so it's for the purpose of them being stirred up to remember the Lord Jesus, to be careful. Now let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at this passage of Scripture. But I just want you to see sort of the second thing is the further development of this thing, of this mechanism that God commands His people to utilize, to do, to take advantage of, to participate in, so that they would be stirred up to be careful, to trust and obey the Christ, to remember the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 1. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today. So it shall be on the day when you shall cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and coat them with lime, and write on them all the words of this law when you cross over, in order that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. And it shall be, when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones, as I am commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones you shall wield, an iron tool, you shall not wield an iron tool on them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly. Then Moses and the Levites, the Levitical priests, spoke to all Israel, saying, be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God, and you shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today. Moses also charged the people on that day, saying, when you cross the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And for the curse, these shall stand on Mount Ebal: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall then answer and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who distorts the justice due an alien, orphan, and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with any animal, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father or of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who accepts a bribe to strike down an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey. Now we're going to stop reading there, because Deuteronomy 28 is rather a long chapter. But the point is, I want you to see the development of this now. We move forward, and we're even closer now, and Moses' career is almost over. His time of service to the living God and God's people is almost at an end. When Deuteronomy 27, and so I want you to see that he expands what we see here in Deuteronomy 11 and gives even more detailed instruction about when the children of Israel cross over. Moses says, I'm not going to be with you, but when you cross over, I want you to get these stones, coat them with lime, and write very diligently, very carefully the words of this law. And I want you to divide the people up by tribes on these two mountains, Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal, and there's a little valley in between. The Levites are going to be standing in the little valley place, and they're going to read the law of God. And as they read the curses, the people on Mount Ebal are going to say Amen, and as they read the blessings, the people on Mount Gerizim are going to say Amen. Why? Well, let's turn on over a couple of chapters. Chapter 30. And let's read again now. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 29 are spelling out more of these blessings and judgments that blessings and curses that we have reference to here in Deuteronomy 11. And he's just expanding, giving more detail right before they go into the land. And look at chapter 30, verse 1. So it shall be when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all the nations where the Lord your God has banished you. Now, what he said was, if you love the Lord and obey him, if you trust and obey the Christ, I'm going to bless you. But if you ever turn away from him to other gods and disobey him, and that will be the expression of your turning away, you will break God's holy commandments. Then these judgments will come upon you. And the culmination of those chastenings was that God said, if after my chastening, you don't listen, I'm going to chasten you more. And if you don't listen, I'm going to chasten you more. And if you don't listen, I'm going to chasten you more. And if you don't listen. And finally, God says, if you still don't listen, I'm going to send an army to come to Jerusalem and to destroy the city where I've put my name, to destroy the temple. And I will take you and scatter you. You won't be privileged to live in this land. I will scatter you to the ends of the earth. That was the culmination of these judgments. So that's what he makes reference. He says, when all these things come to pass, You've been blessed, but you forget the Lord God and you turn away from the Christ and you think, look at all of the abundance. Look how strong we are. Look how wise we are. Look how wealthy we are. Why do we need Jesus? And these chastenings come upon you and you wake up one day and there you are in a foreign land. Verse 2, and you return to the Lord your God and obey Him with all your heart and soul according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there He will bring you back, and the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. And the Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the Lord and observe all His commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body and in the offspring of your cattle and in the produce of your ground, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as He rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So Moses went and spoke all these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today, and I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them just as He did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when He destroyed them. And the Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts, at the feast of booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which he will choose. Now, Jerusalem hadn't been specified yet. But here, Moses is giving God's commands. He says, at the end of every 7 years, when the release of debts takes place, when you gather together at the Feast of Booths, when you celebrate the great deliverance God made for his people, delivering them from Egypt, every 7 years, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men, the women, and children, and the alien who is in your town, in order that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God and be careful. And there's a word that's over in Deuteronomy 11. Be careful to observe all the words of this law. In other words, God's saying, remember me. And their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. Then Moses said, I'm not going to be here long. And look down in verse 19. Now, therefore, write this song. God says, I'm going to teach my people a song. Write this song for yourselves and teach it to the sons of Israel. Put it on their lips in order that this song may be a witness for me against the sons of Israel. For when I bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and are satisfied and become prosperous, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me and break my covenant. And then it shall come about when many evils and troubles have come upon them that this song will testify before them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten from the lips of their descendants. For I know their intent which they are developing today before I have brought them into the land which I swore. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the sons of Israel. Now, we're not going to read the song, because look at verse 30. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were complete. So God is very concerned that his people not forget him, that the blessings that they are going to enjoy not be allowed to lull them to sleep into thinking they do not need the Lord. You remember Deuteronomy chapter 8? God said, now when I take you in the promised land, you're going to eat in abundance. You're going to have wealth, incredible wealth. Be careful. Be careful. Don't forget me. Don't forget the Lord. Because you're going to go in there and you're going to be tempted to think my hand and my strength made me all this wealth. But he said, you shall remember it is the Lord your God who is fulfilling his covenant, who is blessing you, who's giving you the power to gain this wealth. So, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. So, we see the original intent. He says, I'm just giving you these instructions. Now, we've jumped ahead a little bit and looked in the book of Deuteronomy and seen that this is no small thing in the scheme of God's economy, that this problem of God's people being tempted to forget God is something that the Lord just comes at in a lot of different ways. And this, one of the mechanisms, we've looked at this song that Moses is supposed to teach the children of Israel, and we're not going to look at the content till we get there. But the purpose of it was to remind the children of Israel of God, His goodness, the great works He had done in the past, His commitment to them in the Christ, and how they dare not turn away from Him and forget Him. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11 now, and let's think about this. How do we apply this then in our day? So we've seen for the children of Israel who are going to go into the promised land. Well, how many of you live in Palestine? I don't see too many hands. Is this command then a call for us to go over to Palestine, find Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, divide up into cheerleading squads, and have the law of God read? And while we're at it, let's get some big old large stones, coat them with lime, and be very careful to write out the law of God. What is the application of this? Well, let's go over and look at several passages in the New Testament. First of all, let's look in John chapter 4. And before we look at John chapter 4, there's one other thing maybe that... Well, no, let's look at John 4 first. And then we'll, there's one other passage I want us to look at. John chapter 4. Big familiar passage here. The Lord Jesus sends His disciples into the town. And we'll just start reading in John chapter 4, verse 4. He had to pass through Samaria. So He came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his sons Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, about noontime. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to Him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." She said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." And the woman said to Him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly." And the woman said to Him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When that one comes, He will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." And at this point, His disciples came, and they marveled that He had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" And they went out of the city and were coming to him. And in the meanwhile, the disciples were requesting him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And the disciples, therefore, were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at on the fields, for they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And from the city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, I want you to notice back in verse 20, and I'm not going to make comment on a lot of things in this passage, but in verse 20, this woman, as Jesus is exposing her sordid past and calling her to repent, she says, our fathers worshipped in this mount. And it was in the region of Mount Gerizim. The Samaritans believed they were the remnants of the northern tribes of Israel. They were the ones that, under the influence of Jeroboam, had worshipped in faulty ways. They still claim to love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and yet they were very, very mixed up. And there were all kinds of bizarre things that they had embraced. And because of this event that took place of the children of Israel standing on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, fast forward 1,500 years, and the children of Israel now are in this region, the Samaritans, are so mixed up that they think that's the place. They say the Jews, who were the southern kingdom, they understood rightly that Jerusalem was the place where God had designated. Their traditions had taken this thing of Mount Gerizim and said, this is the place. And so that's what she's referring to. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And she was posing this basically as a question. I perceive you're a prophet. What's the truth? And Jesus tells her something startling. He says, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. Jerusalem was the place where you were supposed to go to meet God in the whole Old Testament economy. Mount Gerizim served its purpose just for a short time in the history of Israel. And then God said, now Jerusalem is the place where I want the temple built. Jerusalem is the place where 3 times a year all the males are required to go. And every 7th year, the whole congregation of God's people are supposed to go and hear the word of the living God read, so that those new children and people who are added who've never heard, I want them to remember me. And now Jesus says, it's not a place. If we had time this evening, let me encourage you to go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 18 and following. Why does Jesus say, not even Jerusalem? Not Mount Gerizim, not in Jerusalem will we gather to worship so that we can meet God and remember Him. Well, it's because now that Messiah has come, He's the place where we go to meet God. When God's people gather, wherever we are, whether we gather in a building like we are tonight, or out in a field, or in a barn, or in the catacombs, or in a basement of somebody's house, God's people, the place where we meet is with God. And when we gather in His name, heaven is opened up and we're privileged, as Hebrews 12, verses 25 and following describe it. We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's the place that God wants us to come to remember. And so it's gathering with God's people to be reminded, to have God declare to us anew these precious truths so that we won't forget. But now there's one other thing. You remember we read in the context of all of this over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. He says, now here's the heart of this commandment. Here's the heart of all these statutes and commandments that God says, I want read and I want you to remember. Look down in verse 11. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, the end of verse 10. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach, nor is it in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it. But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. Now I want you to notice they were supposed to take heed to the fact that the place where they were supposed to go was not the focal point. That the thing that was the focal point was that God had spoken His word and that the gospel was to be something that they were to take to heart. Now let's go over to the New Testament and see God's commentary on this over in Romans, book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, he's talking about his fellow countrymen according to the flesh, is for their salvation. For I bear them witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal for God. You got to give them credit for that, Paul says, but it's not according to knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness, but the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. Now I want you to notice this. Do not say in your heart, and here we have now a reference to these verses, this concept of where are you going to go to find God? See, that's the question. Deuteronomy 30, where are you going to go to find God? Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. So back to Deuteronomy 11. Let's draw all this together. Here we have Moses saying, when you come into the land, you shall place the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. And so we've kind of done a little footwork now. We've gone and seen the development of this in the Old Testament in Moses' day leading up right to them going into the Promised Land. He says, when you go in, I'm not going to be with you, but Joshua will lead you in this. And then we've seen the concern of God that this be a mechanism that God's people not forget him. And then we go over to the New Testament and we have this reference to Mount Gerizim and to a place. Where's the place that we ought to go? And Jesus says, look, God is doing an astounding thing. Not Mount Gerizim. Obviously, that's not the place God wanted his people to go to find God. But not even Jerusalem. Shocker of shockers. Not even Jerusalem is the place where he wants us to go so that we can meet God and learn of him and remember him. But now we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we gather together to meet him, God is calling upon us to be stirred up to love the Lord Jesus so that we will be careful to do what he wants us to do and to be what he wants us to be. And so what a privilege we have. Think about it. Every 7 years, three times a year. Can you imagine having to pack your family up, even if you took your whole family, and travel to Jerusalem? Let's say that you lived there in Israel. And that was the mechanism. It was cumbersome. It was really, really difficult. And look what God has done. And look at the incredible privileges we have in the new covenant. We don't have to travel. Heaven is open for us. We don't have to travel far at all, do we? Wherever a congregation of God's people meet, there God is calling us to remember him. Now, in closing, I want you to turn with me, because in the worship of Almighty God, there is a particular tool that the Lord has called upon us to remember him by. First of all, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. What is it that the preachers of the churches, of the seven churches, are supposed to do? They're supposed to preach the gospel. And several times in these sermons that Jesus gives to these messengers, to these, some of your translations say angels of the churches, but the word can either be translated angel or messenger, and I think it's just a reference to the preachers of these churches. They're the ones who are going to be taking this message of Jesus and explaining it and reading it to the people of God. And look, for example, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. What does Jesus tell his people? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you. He several times is recalling, telling them to take to mind what he had already promised them and given to them over and over. For example, in chapter 3, in verse 2, wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it. And so what's the tool that God uses now when he gathers his people together at Mount Zion every Lord's Day, every week? The chief tool of stirring us up to be careful is the Word of God. He proclaims the gospel to us. And Then secondarily, there's another tool that God uses to call us to remember. So it's not only the Word of God. That's the chief tool, but there's a secondary tool. And if you'll turn with me to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, very familiar words, verse 19, when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in what? Remembrance of me. Now, you say, Henry, was it really necessary for us to spend all this time looking at Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal, and these tools that in the Old Testament God had set up to stir his people up over and over and over to remember, to be careful? Well, turn back with me to the hymn that we sang just a few minutes ago. Hymn 400. Come thou fount of every blessing. And in this hymn, we have this reference to the Ebenezer, to the stone that in Samuel's day, God said, I want you to set this stone up. And when the children of Israel walk by, it'll be something that calls them to what? Remember. It's only by the grace of God that we've come this far. And look at the last stanza. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. What do you have to do to grow cold and distant from the living God? What do you have to do? Nothing. Nothing. It's like the waves of the ocean that just lap over and over and over and just slowly erode. And so we are in constant need of God's refreshing grace, calling us to know anew and afresh our Lord Jesus and his goodness and kindness. Look at the next phrase. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. A Christian loves God, but this side of heaven, we have a tendency to what? Wander. For the fire of faith in our heart to start growing dim. And we are in need of God restoking the fire, putting fresh fuel from his word by his Holy Spirit upon our hearts. And so there are several things. First of all, the word of God is really crucial for us to be reading and studying as individuals and families, but especially gathering together with God's people on a regular basis, that God would use these means of grace to recall to our hearts the glories of Jesus. And that's what Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal were all about. We are not called upon to go to Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal, but the thing that God was doing with that, we are still in desperate need of, aren't we? We're still in need of God renewing and recalling to our minds anew and afresh his goodness. And that's why we delight to gather together, is for God to refresh us and grow us and keep us. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be coming to the Lord's table, to the Lord's Supper. And that's the secondary tool that God has ordained. It is instructed by the Word of God, even in the Lord's Supper. If we didn't have the Bible to tell us what it meant, it wouldn't be useful to us. But the Holy Spirit uses these tools to stir us up, to love God, and to be careful. And may the Lord continue to do that in our lives. And may we be diligent to use the means of grace. That's the bottom line. Let's pray. Father, we know we need to read the Bible. We know we need to pray. We know we need to gather with your people. We know as families we ought to be reading, having times of devotion. But, Lord, we get so busy and so many things crowd. And, Lord, we confess to you that when times of ease come, Lord, it is easy for us to grow cold and distant. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage in Deuteronomy 11. And that, Lord, we would rightly understand it, what it meant for your people in that day, and then to see it in the context of the whole of Scripture and how, Lord, you replaced that mechanism. First with an even better mechanism with Jerusalem, and now you replace that with Jesus himself. And you call us and give us the privilege in him of coming to Mount Zion, of gathering with your people to worship. And Lord, we pray that you would stir us up to recall the gospel and to know you afresh. That, Lord, you would stir us up in Jesus to be careful, to follow you. Lord, how we thank you for your word. We pray that you bless us and keep us and that you would grow us. And, Lord, we look forward now to coming to your table. In Jesus we pray. Amen.